Let's begin this episode of Another World is Possible with a story. Stop me if you've heard this one. A man went to a highly recommended tailor to be fitted for a suit for his daughter's wedding. Came the day of the celebration, and he went to pick up his new suit. It didn't fit at all, and there was no time for alterations. "Don't worry," the tailor told him. "If you just raise your left shoulder, the jacket will look fine." But doing that pushed his right sleeve over his hand. Once again, the tailor assured him, "Just keep your right arm twisted slightly and raised in front of your chest, and the suit will fit perfectly." The same with the pants. If he kept his stomach pushed way forward, walked with one foot out to the side, and took longer steps with it, and shorter steps with the other foot, the pants, too, would fit. That story, which in some versions has an even funnier punchline, is the takeoff point for Robert Paul Wolff's critique of the conventional way in which U.S. history has been widely understood, written about, taught, and most importantly, distorted, especially about race. The self-serving conventional master narrative is in a state of constant apologetic adjustments when what's needed is a new fitting, a new tailoring from start to finish, from 1492 and 1619 to the present. As Wolff says,
"Stories have a power to shape our experience, to impose interpretations on what we think we know, both true stories and fictional ones. The story of America organizes our collective social memory, highlighting turning points, bringing some facts into sharp focus, concealing others. If our national story is told wrongly, we shall forget our real past, and then, because stories have this power, we shall misunderstand our present and lose the ability to shape our future. Freud says somewhere that if there is any one subject that it is not permitted to discuss in an analysis, sooner or later the entire analysis comes to be about that one subject. Race is the dirty little secret of the American story, not greed, not sex, not power. Until the American story is rewritten with the fact of slavery and its aftermath given its true place, none of us in the white community will be able to understand the story of America aright."
I'm talking about the extraordinary experience Wolff recounts in his book, Autobiography of an Ex-White Man, Learning a New Master Narrative for America. While my focus could easily be on the history Wolff learned, it's how he learned it that mainly interests me. Wolff was already an accomplished professor nearing the end of his career, a noted anarchist theoretician, a street activist, and a teacher of Marxism, who then was invited to switch academic departments from philosophy to Afro-American studies. He became the lone white faculty member in a department of distinguished black scholars and artists. He had thought he already knew what there was to know about capitalist exploitation, about imperialism. The book is his account of his transformation that resulted from being pushed to engage with a black perspective. The process by which people's ideas change, how their premises about what's possible can be transformed, is a fundamental issue as we envision social change. It's an issue we come back to repeatedly and address from many angles here at Another World is Possible. Political movements have foundered because they've misunderstood it, thinking, for instance, that people can be won over simply by hectoring them or giving them the right reading material, or the opposite, by pushing a confrontational militancy without also stepping back to take stock and reevaluate. Movements, labor unions, even revolutionary societies get stuck on particular tactics that may have worked in the past. Staying open continuing to learn, is unfortunately rare and something we and our movements all need to aspire to. And that's the merit of Wolf's book. Here's what he says about his trajectory.
Before I began my journey, I thought of myself as a sensitive, knowledgeable, politically committed advocate of racial justice. But as I took the first steps along the way, I began to realize that I understood little or nothing at all about that color line called by W.E.B. Du Bois, the problem of the 20th century. So, rather like the conventional Christian who seeks to become truly a Christian, my task was to undergo a difficult process of re-education and self-examination in order to end up where I thought I had begun, as a committed advocate of racial justice. Perhaps I can take some comfort from Socrates' teaching that the first step of the journey toward wisdom is the acknowledgement that one is ignorant. I had no inkling that before too many years had gone by, my whole way of seeing the world would change.
We've been transformed by Black Lives Matter, a movement that came after Wolf wrote. Even lifelong white radicals are more attuned to issues of race and racial justice. I certainly am. While the specifics of what Wolf learned about race in U.S. history are less important for our purposes than the fact that he learned them, the fact that an old dog can learn new tricks, I still want to highlight examples of his new understanding. He learned that protecting the institution of slavery was fundamental in the colony's decision to declare independence from England, and that the United States was founded on bondage of white workers as well as blacks. That racism was not at the roots of slavery, but developed more as a justification for economic exploitation. That rape of slave women was not only an expression of power, but also an intentional economic act as the price of new slaves soared when the Atlantic slave trade was cut off. That the decisive act in the North's Civil War victory was the decision by Southern black slaves to stop producing for their masters and for the Confederacy, what W.E.B. Du Bois called a general strike. That after the Civil War, former slaves who had been competent in a whole range of skilled labor were intentionally de-skilled, no longer employed as mechanics, field supervisors, boat builders, etc., to further the narrative of black incapability and dependency. That terrorism against former slaves was facilitated by the fact that they were no longer someone's property, that there was no longer a disincentive to cripple or kill. I have some reservations about Wolf's book, particularly his surprising lack of class differentiation among whites when it comes to racism on the job. White workers have indeed been racist, but it's necessary to separate their motives and their sense of vulnerability from the motives of employers who have a stake in keeping workers divided. This is a fine book to read for a quick reconceptualization of U.S. history. It's a wonderful book to read about the process of rethinking what we thought we knew. Even as we have fully developed critiques of the social economic system that dominates our lives, stay open to new insights. That's part of how we'll get to that another world we know is possible. I've been discussing Robert Paul Wolf's autobiography of an ex-white man. This is Norm Diamond for the Old Mole Variety Hour, leaving the last word to the author.
North America is now in its fifth century of racial oppression and injustice. Only concerted, unrelenting action for racial justice will change half a millennium of injustice. I am mindful of the young Karl Marx's call to arms in his famous 11th thesis on Feuerbach. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in various ways. The point, however, is to change it. I think Marx would agree that we can succeed in changing the world only if we understand it. It is my hope that this slender volume will make a contribution to that understanding.